coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of The Curious Realm. Man, you know what? I cannot wait for episode 10 for one reason. Not only do we now have officially on our app as well as our website a private live stream going, so for all of you out there that have been wondering, like, where can I find this show live other than Facebook or YouTube? You can find it live at CuriousRealm.com/live. You can go to CuriousRealm.com/app right now and download our free, that's right, free, non-platform required, folks. You don't even have to, like, go to the Google market and surrender your information. If you're an Android user, hop on over, click the image on the website, and it'll sideload directly to your device. So you don't have to go to, like, the Android marketplace or anything like that, or Google market or any kind of that stuff. Sorry, iPhone folk. I do have the raw code to turn things into an app. However, I don't have those chops. Also, you can't sideload an app on an iDevice. And I don't know how much I want to, like, give people's security away, because there's been all kinds of wild stuff in the news. Speaking of which, let's get into that real quick. Ha-ha! Yeah, wrong button. Sorry about that, Howard Dean. Didn't mean to poke you. Let's hop on over to the Dudes and Beer Facebook group on Facebook. Check out some of the articles of the week right now. Out of fizz.org, unusual emission from Pulsar PSR B185+07, examined with FAST, which is, of course, a telescope array. And if you look at the image, you can see that is a regular repeating signal. So we'll see what that's all about. Out of the Sun, a human smuggling boat carrying 40 people capsizes off the Florida coast. CNBC reporting drop Bitcoin as legal tender, the IMF urges El Salvador. And, you know, if anybody knows something that's going to crash a market or a country's economy, it's the IMF. They're really, really good at doing that themselves. So, yeah, watch out, though, because there is some wild stuff going on in the crypto market and with Bitcoin right now. Out of fizz.org, pickled fetus found inside of ancient Egyptian mummy. And one of our listeners and friends, Rain, asked if the baby was still alive whenever it was pickled, or if it was, like, I don't know. Wild stuff. Out of Business Insider, photos of empty stores show why Mattress Firm could be on the verge of closing hundreds of locations. And actually, this has actively spawned, like, a huge conspiracy theory on Reddit, folks. Conspiracy hypothesis on Reddit, about is Mattress Firm just laundering money? Like, there are all these people showing pictures of, like, two mattress firms across the street and no mattresses in either one of them, but the lights are still on and the place is open. And it's like, is this just a huge money laundering front? And if you think about it, like, there's a lot of competing mattress stores right across the street from each other. Like, more often than you see a Starbucks directly across the street from each other. So that is the news for the week, folks. Stop on by. Join us on Facebook right there. Great conversations going on all the time. While you're online checking that out, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is where you can find everything. Hit up the store. We have all kinds of great new stuff in there, including books from our guest this evening, Mr. James Keenan. James Keenan, how are you today? It has been a while. Welcome to your first episode of Curious Realm.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me back on. It's good to be on the new show.
Oh,
I like,
man,
the way it looks, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure having you on. We always have such great conversations, and like I said pre-show, it's been great to see you kind of stretch your legs with more research than what you have done in past years here recently. So before we get really involved, let's go ahead and familiarize any new listeners with who you are, what you do, and how you came to be involved with the now famed Blind Frog Ranch.
Yeah, sure. So after putting in 20 plus years of law enforcement and private investigation, you know, I just got tired of it. I had my degrees were in anthropology and archaeology. I'd done a lot of work in, you know, Mesoamerica excavation wise to get those. And I figured, hey, it was the time to, you know, do what I finally wanted to do. So I'm not too keen on writing nonfiction because I don't like having to put all the sources and everything in there. And then, you know, with some non-disclosure agreements, you can't really talk about it. But heck, if you happen to write fiction, you know, a lot of the truth can be put into what you're writing along with the storyline. So, you know, 7 books later, and the 8th one is about to come out in mid-March. I did a deep dive into the connectivity between Mesoamerica and the desert Southwest and Scotland, Armenia, Sardinia. So traveled around the world, started seeing all this unexplainable phenomena at multiple location sites, especially in Mexico and the Southwest. Started seeing that there was a lot of oral tradition and real written down history, whether it's on rock art or artifacts in regards to the giants of old. And I wanted to familiarize people with it more so, not just with the same regurgitated information that's just continuously told, but to try to let people know what's right, what's wrong, meaning, you know, what really is the truth, or what articles were incorrect, or, you know, when you're talking about the ancient alien artifacts out of Abuelos de Jalisco, that one out of every 10 to 15,000 is the real deal and all the rest are fraudulent or fake. And then, wow. I delved into these, sites, you know, I was on, season 2 of Secret Skinwalker Ranch. And then I do a lot of the science and data collection for Dwayne Ollinger on Blind Frog Ranch, which is just, you know, 21 miles northeast from Skinwalker Ranch on the Uintah Basin in northeastern Utah.
Well, and let's start getting into that area real quick, the Uintah Basin, because there are a few areas in the world and even in our country, James, that I mean, we have one right down the road from us here. At least it was called Wonder World when I was a kid. I don't know if it's still around or not, but it was one of those places with like wacky shacks where stuff went, like water ran uphill, you know, all kinds of wild things like that. Odd vortices and vortexes and anomalies. And it seems like the Uintah Basin is a magnet for these anomalies.
Yeah, literally. It seems like there is a huge magnet underground. Mm. So that was a good play on the words. Just a place of a lot of phenomena, and it makes you wonder if whatever is occurring, I personally think it's underground, if it attracts the phenomena or if it creates the phenomena, it could go either way, but there's just so much occurring. It's not one thing, it's many. And you're able to collect all this information and data for so many different types of things occurring than if you were to go elsewhere and only be able to, you know, investigate or research on one topic. Here, it's many at one time.
Yeah. And let's start getting into some of these. I'm actually bringing up a USGS survey of the area, but There have been, I mean, of course, Blind Frog Ranch is named such because of the frogs that are there. But let's start getting into a little bit of the supposed cursed history of the property. There was the whole caveat for a long time, which was talked about at length in season one of Mystery of Blind Frog Ranch. The whole, you know, don't dig was the instruction.
Yeah. And, well, the don't dig was on Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, okay.
At the Blind Frog Ranch, they started digging. They've been digging for years looking for this treasure, this supposed treasure that could be the Rhodes Mine, or it's also known as the Mormon Mine or the Brigham Young Mine. It may also be, you know, the hidden Aztec treasure that they hid from Hernan Cortez when he was pushed out of Tenochtitlan in 1520 before he returned to conquer them. It also seems to be a location, or at least around there somewhere, this spot known as Kershinab or Tamuan Khan in ancient Mesoamerican culture, where its origin for many species, including the ant people, giants, and humans, whether that's them having survived there from multiple major catastrophic events, the last one being the Great Deluge, you know, and also a burial for kings and gods.
Well, I know last time you were on, we were talking about the history of giants in the area and the rumors of that, the rumors, like you're saying, that they took refuge in the caves and tunnel systems there during the last deluge. There is even the story from the Paiute people that they actively smoked them all inside of a cave and suffocated them caved the front of the entrance in. So how long has the rumor of giants in the area been going on, James?
Yes, it's been thousands upon thousands of years. You have the San Juan River culture, which were the ancestral Pueblo, or maybe even the pre-ancestral Pueblo, which go back into the archaic period. You have the desert archaic people, which comprise of, you know, Barrier Canyon style culture, which has this rock art that have anthropomorphic and zoomorphic figures that look like anything but normal day living. It's missing everything that should be there, like corn and musical instruments in day-to-day life, but it has these things that look like, I mean, it looks like artificial intelligence moving around. It looks like other type of species, maybe ant people, reptilian, alien. It's just truly bizarre. But the most important and that's seen all over, especially throughout Utah, are the giants. And like you said, it goes into Nevada with the Paiute in Lovelock Cave with the Site Ka, which were a specific tribe. They were supposedly the redheaded cannibal giants. But you had other groups too. You had probably the Starnake, which were the mining giants. And, you know, that if you listen to Starnake, it sounds a lot like the Anunnaki. You know, you have more ancient groups, the Kinemetsin giants that go all the way down into Mexico. So you're talking just tons of ancient races that could have come from elsewhere or just been here for a long time before we showed up on the planet.
And with that in mind specifically, let's start exploring some of the possibilities there on modern day Blind Frog Ranch. Like you said, supposedly, and I've been watching the episodes for this season, and I love the stuff that you guys are doing afterward. It's really great to hear folks deep diving into things and examining the episodes after it comes out. Because, of course, there's tons of stuff that you guys find, tons of other research that occurs that does not make the show.
Right. And what you're talking about is so it's on Friday nights and then Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. It's the podcast for the Mystery of Blind Frog Ranch, where we have, you know, Charlie Boy or Dwayne Ollinger, mm-hmm. Chad Ollinger, Jamie. We had Dr. Sagala, Jim Sagala on. This weekend, I happened to not be there because I was giving a presentation with Dwayne Ollinger here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
But I mean, gosh, you know, Dr. Sagala was on season one of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. He knows his stuff. And I miss not having been able to talk to him.
Well, and, you know, What was the presentation like for you guys here recently? Because I know y'all have been going out and making some appearances. I know you've got an upcoming conference in Sedona that both of you are going to be at. So how has that been going? How has the show been received and the research been received by the audiences out there?
Yeah, so, you know, the show has a huge following. It seems like a lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it. It seems the people that seem to hate it watch it more than the people that love it and talk about it more.
The only way you can rag on it properly is if you watch it all the way through, right?
Right. and you know, you got to remember too, you film for these guys on the show, they film for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, one episode is only 40 minutes with 20 minutes of commercial in it. You can't show everything. So it's a pick and choose that's done on the editing table. So that was kind of why we put together the podcast so that we could, you know, discuss more of what occurred the night before or answer a lot of questions that are out there. But yeah, I mean, you know, I deal strictly with the scientific part of it or the oral tradition, the Native American aspects of it. I do dive into looking for the treasure, but I keep all that separate from what's occurring on the Discovery Channel show. Mm. That's something that Cargo 7 is doing, and, you know, I think it helps due to the fact that I'm able to keep a lot of those data points and scientific information separate to where my hypothesis can't be manipulated.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that at some point here in the near future, there will be a major discovery made. Whether that be, you know, during the course of the show or on an off season, off point of filming. And, you know, that's another thing you got to remember too. So a lot of stuff occurs when it's not filming. So the only way to be able to provide that would be through reenactment or, you know, telling the story of something that happened in the last, 9 months.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, you know, explaining it more in the amount of time that's possible to do that.
Well, and the research that you've been doing has gotten pretty in depth. I know you were, whenever you first came on the show a couple years ago, you were doing some light surveys, things like that. But let's start getting into some of the wild science that you have been using out on location to, I guess, collect the phenomenology of what's going on at this location.
Sure. So I introduced 3D ground imaging. I now have a 3D ground imager with the GPR, the ground penetrating radar.
Awesome.
So I'm capable of looking into the ground in a non-invasive manner. It almost feels like it's cheating because I know what's in the ground before digging. And I have incorporated two intense depth metal detection units, meaning they can go anywhere between 10 and 18 feet underground, which is unheard of. We've also been using Ka band radar guns, which operate at 34.7 gigahertz to interact with UAP, not on the ranch, but very near to it, which has just been something I had never seen done. You know, a lot of people, you could show them all the video in the world and cry that it was Photoshopped or something. So I came up with something that worked. It comes in contact with the surface of these UAPs, showing that they're not just light, but that they do have some type of hardened, you know, outer surface, and collect that video and photos of it. And I've shown some of the photos, but I'm keeping the video for a specific project that will hopefully appear for the public probably within the next 18 months.
Wow. That is incredible, man, to know that you've come up with a system to actively be able to see these UAPs. You were saying that there's light, so obviously you can see them without this device, but this just shows the fact that they aren't just a source of light or, you know, a glow stick on a drone or something like that.
Correct. And you know, I'm within 200 feet of it, so I can see with my eyes that it's not any type of drone that I've ever seen.
Wow.
And what's interesting is it seems to be evading the microwaves that are sent out from the Ka band gun. It's the same thing that catches people speeding that are used by law enforcement. And I had initially tried a laser radar gun and it didn't interact with it. It didn't seem to even notice. But the moment I used that pop radar with it, it just started doing some evasive maneuvers.
Wow.
And moving from 11 to 44 miles per hour. And after 92 seconds, it just disappeared. And I'm not talking about flying off. It just was gone.
Wow. Now, does this system, and I don't want to get into too much stuff. I don't want you to give away any proprietary information or anything like that. But are you able to there's one thing to just saying, like, with data, yes, there's something there. Are you able to see what's there with your system?
Well, I'm videotaping that I'm using the gun. So I'm capturing myself in front of the videos, and the camera is also capturing the UAP while I'm interacting with it.
Wow. That is pretty cool, man. That is incredible stuff.
And yeah, it's amazing.
Now, when you're saying interacting, is this like flashing? What are you calling interacting with a UAP? Because I mean, there are, of course, the CE5 studies going on with Stephen Greer, all that kind of stuff, with people mass interacting with UAPs. There are people who have said, you know, use these lasers and you can interact with UFOs and UAPs. But what kind of interactions are you getting from these objects right now?
Sure. So when I initially hit it with the pop radar, it starts moving, trying to get away from it. I'll turn it off. I'll remove my finger from the trigger of the radar gun and it'll settle back into a spot, and then I'll turn it back on it, and it does the same thing. It and if I keep it on there, it keeps moving and trying to get away from it, and it's returning the microwave signals of 11 miles per hour to 44 miles per hour of movement, the speed of this object. And you're talking about it moving up and down, left, right, but not a long distance, not far away. It wouldn't leave You know, like I said, it was only a couple hundred feet in front of me, and it's not like it darted away or shot up into the sky. And then after 92 seconds, it just disappeared.
Wow. Wow. And now, how do you think this relates possibly to the finding of cameras on property this last year? Do you think that maybe that is some sort of observation drone or anything like that?
Yeah, that was interesting. I don't know what to make of that. I do know that, you know, I watched that episode, and it was an expensive piece of equipment.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't anything cheap. It was able to be connected to, you know, from a distance. It had solar panels for recharging. It was a PTZ, which is a point to zoom system that could focus in and out to great lengths.
And able to track individuals.
And able to track individuals, as the tech said on the show. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know. I mean, like I said, you know, was what I was interacting with maybe just a high-tech drone that we don't know about yet? I mean, that's an absolute possibility. Sure. I mean, it's an unidentified aerial phenomena. I don't know.
Now,
it could be something that we end up seeing in the next few years.
Absolutely. Now, on the property itself, there's been found quite a deposit of iridium. Which in and of itself carries certain properties, and especially when in huge quantities, can do all kinds of wild stuff. Do you think that any of this is related to the iridium, or that anybody watching the property is perhaps trying to come in and, like, strip mine or kind of slant mine the iridium off property or something like that?
I mean, it's always possible. You know, on the show, they stated that the assay came back at $3.5 million. Unfortunately, the state of Utah is very strict about mining, and it would require a mega amount of permits to do that.
Yeah.
Even though it's private property, that doesn't matter because, you know, there are live streams running through the property. The wildlife there is protected.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is people have to realize that in a regular sample of the Earth's soil, there's only 1/1000th part per million iridium. That's 0.001 on. When an asteroid or a meteor strikes the planet and you find shock quartz, you'll also find about 4.5 to 6 parts per million, which is huge. Well, my two samples that I took came back at 10 and 60 parts per million.
Wow.
Which is massive. And then obviously what you saw Eric show on the show on Discovery, I mean, his assay came back even more at $3.5 million, which is, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, it is.
So it's possible.
Yeah. And even the metal that Dwayne himself wears around his neck, the properties of it and the way that they are able to manipulate it is just really, really strange. Very, very interesting stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Literally like modern alchemy. Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's the exact point that Dwayne is trying to explain to people is that it's alchemy. The fact that he's capable of doing this. I've never seen him personally create the metal. I've seen all the equipment up there in the energy zone. There's three energy zones that I know of. This is probably the largest of them. And, you know, obviously it's not all the time that it's capable of being created, but just the fact that he can do it 5 out of 10 times or whatever it is just amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, he wears that thing around his neck all the time, and you just can't help but stare at it. It's just so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It is in and of itself an anomaly. And it's just really interesting to see some of the strange things that go on property over there. What's some of the wildest stuff that you have seen since you've been researching there? Because, of course, you've been researching on the property since well before this show started filming, anything like that.
Correct. Yeah, there's, you know, a lot of people have said they've tracked Bigfoot on there. And, you know, I've never had any occurrence about that at Blind Frog Ranch, but I have had some major equipment failures, including I had a pretty expensive magnetometer fry itself. I don't quite know how it occurred.
Oh, wow.
But it just, it goes to show that in these locations, these phenomena locations around the world, that there's these categories of repeating paranormal phenomena that occur. And it seems like one of the biggest ones is the disruption of these electronics and technology. And that's ongoing. I've had that occur, elsewhere on the Uinta Basin at multiple locations that are tied in to this transient phenomena that's taking place, because there's this transient energy that occurs, and it's starting to be tracked, and we're learning more about it, and it's just interesting. But I think that would be the biggest thing. We've had some interesting experiences that I would almost have to relate or say it has to have something to do with the Native American background, and it being land, you know, their land. And it's hard for me a lot of the times to discuss, personal paranormal experiences, or unexplainable, I prefer to say.
Sure.
When I'm trying to collect the scientific part of it. But, it's happened, and I can't deny those occurrences of, feeling like something put its hand on your shoulder and you turn around in a certain location and there's nothing there, or you constantly feel like you're being watched around a certain tree, on the property that has a lot of Native American history to it. And it's not just, me or me alone. It occurs when there's multiple people with you, and the same occurrence they end up going through as well. So I know a lot of people, they'll call BS unless they either experience it or you have some type of physical evidence. Sure. And unfortunately, you can't be ready for something like that to capture 100% of the time. Yeah. It's not possible. So over the years, I've caught bits and pieces of this, or been able to provide evidence for that, or a lot of my hypotheses have been wrong. And you know what? That's great, because that's what the science is for. If I prove myself wrong, I'll move on to the next hypothesis. And I'm more than happy to say when I've been wrong, because at some point, I'm going to get to what I believe is really going on and be able to prove and show that it's happening.
Right. That's right. And I think what a lot of people forget, James, that we talk about on this show regularly, is that according to scientific theory, you're allowed to hypothesize any old thing. It's through theory and experimentation that we prove it. And to know that, like you said, numerous of your hypotheses have come back wrong through that experimentation and theory. And it's okay. That doesn't mean that you stop hypothesizing. That doesn't mean that you stop considering something else or other alternatives.
Exactly. And you know what? There have been some things where we've had a repeatable outcome. I can do it over and over again, and the outcome is always the same, which is exactly what I'm looking for. And at some point, I think all these little bits and pieces, call it bits and pieces of the puzzle, at some point will be put together and we'll be able to see the big picture of what's happening. I firmly am a believer 100% that whatever is occurring, it's because it's below ground. And I've never, broken away from that, and that's why we've been underground in a lot of these cavern and tunnel systems that not everybody knows about. But I mean, it's the Uintah Mountains and parts of the basin are just littered with cavern systems or underground voids.
It's almost a honeycomb.
Artifacts. Yeah. It's interesting because, I mean, you're talking about a very good possibility of an asteroid or meteor having hit this place when it was Lake Uintah, which would have created massive fissures through all the limestone that's there. And then there is a lot of faults in the area. It's a very active area, and then you have a ton of hydrocarbons and ancient fossils. This was where the dinosaurs roamed. So you have a lot of interesting distant past history at this location.
Yeah. And a lot of really, really interesting and odd geology in one spot. Like you were saying, the fact that there's obviously been an impact or something like that at some point there, which explains the iridium. Even if there's some sort of huge, magnetic deposit from a meteor, it would explain a lot of things. Now, with your measurements, I know on Skinwalker Ranch, they've done all kinds of stuff, from shooting rockets in the air to getting measurements in helicopters, all kinds of things, to find out that it's almost like energy is being focused, like it's a dish in the area. Are you guys finding that same thing to be the case over on Blind Frog Ranch? What kind of data have you found in that concern?
It's absolutely, it's the same thing. Like if you remember when I was on Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, I was using the magnetometers at the triangle.
Yeah.
And I know there is water running underneath the property, and I was able to show that when they drilled, that's exactly what they found. And this is everywhere. It's not just underneath the mesa at Skinwalker Ranch. We're talking, Blind Frog Ranch is 21 miles northeast of the property, and it has exactly the same underground properties occurring. And you go to Mosby Mountain, you have ice caves up there. You go to Dry Fork Canyon where the petroglyphs are, and there are caves and cavern systems everywhere. And like I said, the Native American history and maybe other entities or species or races that live there knew this as well. The underground system, I mean, it's amazing when you go under. There's underground lake, a sump. It's called the sump in one of them. That's probably about 1,400 feet long, which is just about 0.27 miles.
Wow.
And nobody's ever, gone through to see what the depth is. There's only been a couple divers, two divers, as a matter of fact, that have traversed it to the next cavern system and then stopped because the next sump was even larger. I know for a fact that the Native Americans were through that all over the place in the past.
Now, through that all over the place in the past when it was underwater or when it was dry?
So remember that a lot of that is seasonal based upon the snow melt. So I'm sure there have been times in the last couple thousand years going back to the archaic period where it could have been extremely dry and you could have walked, all the way probably from one system to the next. I'm sure connectivity at one point was east, west, and north and south, meaning east and west through the Uintah Mountains and then north, south from the Uintah Mountains down under the basin. But, is this connectivity lost? permanently, or like you said, or asked me, is it seasonal, or, you know, it can occur sometimes and other times it can't. Just look at Bottle Hollow Reservoir in on Fort Duchesne on the reservation. There was a huge release of gas in 2006 that caused a massive ripple effect on the top that was half a mile in diameter.
Oh, wow.
That tells you that there was some type of cavity or cavern system underneath that. So, you know, that part of my hypothesis is still in play. And it's just a matter of finding this transient energy now that's just continuously moving. How it's doing it, I don't know.
Now, from the readings that you've gotten and seen over the years, what is your hypothesis as far as source, James? What do you like? Does it look to be more of a magnetic source? Does it look to be more of a like a source of radiation?
Yeah, it looks like it's the majority of it is magnetic, you know, magnetic and electromagnetic.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if it's natural, man-made, or other-made. But what's interesting is you have this interaction with specific people. It almost is like, I don't know, it's like some people have this gift or connectivity to the energy. And this energy a lot of times acts like the Havana syndrome. Whether those are microwaves or magnetic frequencies that are affecting these people, but it starts somewhere, travels downward across the basin and affects specific individuals. And where that's originating from, I just don't know.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up because, of course, we talk, let me find it. There it is. We talk about Havana syndrome and targeted individuals regularly on this show and the technologies behind it, James. And of course, right down the road on Skinwalker Ranch, one of the property managers is fully affected by these energies, like to the point of sensitivity. Like he had a part of his skull raise up off of his head. And after he got that fixed, like he doesn't even play. Whenever he starts feeling it, he's like, I'm leaving for the day, guys. You know, so yeah, I think it lends a lot of credence to those that are targeted. The fact that, yes, much like him, where he might be more sensitive to these specific frequency ranges than those around him. Prime example, I hear things that my neighbors do across the street that my wife thinks I'm a crazy person. literally. She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I cannot hear that at all. I got myself a pair of noise canceling headphones because of it. but I'm sensitive to those things because I have made myself sensitive over 25 years of a career in audio. My job was to hear every nuance of everything everywhere I was. So now that I have trained my ears to that, it's much easier for me than the average bear. Is that maybe somehow the case with this, where it's almost an exposure, where maybe people that have been on these ranches longer are more sensitive or more exposed to these?
Yeah, it's a good possibility. That individual you're talking about has lived in that area his entire life. And let's think back here into the recent past. The book Skinwalkers at the Pentagon just recently came out. And what was that discussing? Well, the OSAP program, the Advanced Aerospace Weapons System Application Program, guess where it was? It was on Skinwalker Ranch. And what were they doing? They were looking into things such as the Havana syndrome. They didn't have it named that at the time.
Oh, no, no,
that's
no.
That's exactly what they were doing.
You can't name something for technology that you can't admit exists.
Exactly.
You have to wait till the enemy does it to you, then you can name it, see, and be like, look, there's some crazy stuff. But at some point, it's got to come out, because like we've said with Dr. John Hall, at some point, it's got to come out that this technology exists, because at some point, the finger's got to be pointed at someone. You know, we've known since the 1960s that we have been using microwave activated audio listening devices. You know, you can't say that any embassy since 1960 hadn't just been bathed in microwaves because of that. So, yeah, when you're talking about it, is it the fact of exposure has created an allergy, so to speak, to these frequencies for these people? You know, could be.
Yeah, it's a definite possibility. I mean, look at what we're picking up with spectrum analyzers.
Yeah.
You know, here's a crazy one that I had happen occur on Blind Frog Ranch. So Blind Frog Ranch is in the middle of nowhere. There's no power lines anywhere. The neighbors are miles away. Well, I think the closest is 1.2 miles away. There's nothing. And yet on my spectrum analyzer, I was picking up EF, electric field, without EMF or RF. My RF and my EMF were at zero, but I was getting anywhere from a 9 volts per meter to a 94 volts per meter in this energy zone. And wow. Tell me, how the hell is that possible?
That is huge.
Without any type of, and since EMF wasn't activated, it wasn't anything magnetic occurring. So something had to be directly targeted at the spot that I was at, using only some type of electric frequency.
Yeah.
Or electric radiation.
Yeah. And
so, so we're talking about just, you know, it's this directed type of, I don't know if it's a weapon, a directed weapon, but it's a directed type of radiation. Absolutely. 100%. That data point shows it.
Yeah.
And has this occurred? Yeah. This has been repeatable. Other things have occurred. It may not have just been EF. It may have been EF and EMF together, but you're out in the middle of nowhere again.
The fact that you had an EF field of that, because you could pick up an EF field, there's all kind of fine silica dust, like a good breeze across it could pick up an EF field with static electricity or something along those lines. But when you're talking about that kind of energy, that is like something putting off, that's almost like you're standing near like a power station.
Right,
is where you would get that kind of just ambient electric feel, where you could literally hear the crackle of energy in the air, is where you would hear that or see that kind of reading. That is a massive reading for ambient electronic field.
Yeah, if I was standing on a sea of quartz, the piezoelectric energy wouldn't have read that high.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe, I guess it could. But
possibly.
I doubt it. It would have to be really large.
It would have to be really, really, really big. And with that in mind, I know we've got you for a few more minutes here, but man, the amount of research that you have been doing out there over the last few years has been, once again, just amazing to see amass, as well as amazing to see the results come through. What kind of things are you looking at for your next visit out there? What kind of toys are you looking to bring? What kind of studies are you looking to do? What are your thoughts coming up?
Sure. So we're planning almost what I'm going to call an expedition, because over the years I've come up with what I believe are three honest to God good potential spots for what Dwayne is looking for, which is this cache vault or cache mine. And I think over time we've put together one of those locations is very close to the property. Another one is north of it. And then another one is far away northwest, and that's definitely at the top of the list. The other, you know, things that we want to do is we're going to get back underground, go to some of these larger sinkholes, and start taking samples, see if the, you know, the gold assays come up pretty high. You know, maybe if it's not a cached, you know, gold bullion laying underground, maybe there's a ton of ore that's causing a lot of these readings too.
Sure. Sure.
And yeah. And then we are going to do a lot more of 3D ground imaging at locations that had initial high reads from the metal detection units, the deep metal detectors that we had. I didn't have the 3D ground imaging capability at that time. And remember that GPR, ground penetrating radar, I use a 500 megahertz system, so it's only good to about, I'd say about 9 or 10 feet, whereas the 3D ground imager can go all the way down to about 60 to 62 feet below ground, depending on the soil and rock underneath.
Composition, yeah.
Exactly.
Now,
so that's at the top of the list.
That is a lot of technology that you are bringing to the table, man. And to know that you've gone through the effort to pick up this stuff to go out and further the research, not only there, but in other locations, that is incredible. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it brings back good data points for us, because I, you know, as best as I can, I like to keep the public informed. I mean, obviously there's a few things that I just can't disclose, obviously.
Sure. Sure.
Or hopefully they'll be disclosed at a later date on certain shows. And, you know, but what I can, I'm looking forward to sharing.
Well, and I know that once you can disclose, you'll gladly come on here and disclose away, James, as you always
exactly.
do. And, you know, it's really great to see this kind of research going on at these locations. And once again, there's reason for caution. There's reason for, these things are right up against communities. They are not that far away. They share the same water table. Like you said, there are protected species, and maybe Bigfoot, all kinds of things out there. So, thank you so much for all the work that you do, researching this and other locations, as well as your quest to get this information out there. Before we let you go, let everybody know, because I know you have some upcoming conferences as well as a new book coming out in March, right?
Yeah. So, and the title is The Giant and the Golden Underworld. So after hearing me for an hour, I think I gave it away what it's about. And again, hopefully it'll be out around St. Patrick's Day is what I'm hoping for.
Awesome. Awesome. And the also the Sedona conference coming up in March, correct?
Correct. So the UFO Mega Conference was canceled, and Suzanne Ross was real kind enough to get a group of us that were going to do the paranormal aspect or the unexplainable aspect of the conference. And she invited us to the Sedona Ascension Retreat, which is March 18th through the 21st. So the 21st is a Monday, and it's called Paranormal Day. So Dwayne Ollinger will be there, Ryan Burns, Katie Grabowski will be there, and myself. And we'll be giving, I don't know if they will, I'll be giving a similar presentation that I had planned to give at the UFO conference.
Awesome.
Oh, and Chris, don't forget Phenomicon, September 8th through 11th. It's going to be huge. They're incorporating the Bigfoot conference into it this year.
Yeah,
out,
man.
In Vernal, Utah.
I can't wait. Like I said, I'm excited to be going out and attending these conferences and to start doing things like this live from the expo floor, you know, going out and interviewing the speakers, interviewing the vendors, interviewing all these interesting people within our various communities that do this stuff, James. So thank you as always for your time coming on and sharing your research and your years of intimate knowledge about Blind Frog Ranch. Thank you as always, man.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Hey, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Please do feel free to stay tuned in. We'll have a short commercial break. And after that, we will be talking with our good friend Christopher Lynch from True Him Science about the amazingness of CBD, as well as a recent study involving COVID and CBD. We'll be right back after these messages, folks. Thanks again, James. Take care, man. With the rise in attention to the health benefits of cannabis and cannabinoids, including CBD, True Hemp Science has become one of the premier providers of full-spectrum CBD and CBD-related products. Using a proprietary spagyric process, True Hemp Science extracts maximum benefit from the whole hemp plant. Buds, leaves, stems, seeds, even roots. Every part of the plant is used and then reused to formulate a rich, complex profile of CBD, CBD derivatives, and terpenes guaranteed to provide the relief and benefits you need daily. Visit TrueHempScience.com to experience the best CBD oils, edibles, and topicals on the market today. And use code CURIOUS7 to save 7% off your entire purchase of $50 or more and get 2 25-milligram CBD cookies or brownies free. That website again is TrueHempScience.com and the code is CURIOUS7. The Curious Realm Podcast is your source for the latest and greatest news and events in the world of the paranormal, esoteric, and forbidden knowledge. And there's no better way to spark the conversation than with items from the Curious Realm store. Choose from fan favorites like hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs, and more. Buy books and items from your favorite Curious Realm guests. Get your hands on the latest gear for paranormal investigations and experiments we discuss on the show. Open your web browser and stop on by the Curious Realm store at curiousrealm.com/store to buy the latest Curious Realm wear and out-of-this-world gifts for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is curiousrealm.com/store. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit podcastcadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code CURIOUS20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is podcastcadet.com. Oh, hey, yeah, well, welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors, as always. We love you guys. Full disclosure, I am one of the founders of Podcast Cadet. The whole reason I started that was to help people do this, help people get their message out there, things like that, specifically businesses that were trying to brand things and get stuff out. And speaking of sponsors and branding and getting stuff out, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you very
Christopher
much.
Christopher
Lynch. Yeah, Chris, thanks. Thanks for having me back. It's nice to be here.
You are more than welcome, my friend. Scoot on into that microphone just a little bit
right
for
on.
Me. Ah, there we go. Hot dog. So there have been many, many major developments with things going on over at True Hemp Science since last time you were on. I, even since before you were our sponsor, I have been using your product almost solely since I was advised by my doctor to start using CBD for my anxiety, for my travel anxiety. That began my search, and I found you shortly thereafter, and I was doing a lot of travel work. And any time I went to a city where things were legal and I could go out and find somewhere, you know, that had such things, I would try some. Yours is the only CBD that I have found that actively has a terpene profile, that actively has any hard effect on me. And when I say hard effect, I mean like an effect that I can fully feel within minutes.
It'll get you lifted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and more than lifted, it'll get you relaxed,
yeah, of course,
is the
yeah,
thing. Yeah. And I have absolutely loved my experience with you guys. Let's start getting into a little bit of what is CBD? So many people, I literally was just on a friend's group the other day. There was a study showing, I forget what it was, something about marijuana and its relatedness to like fog brain. And someone was like, oh, well, of course. And I was like, well, you know, no offense, but I've worked in rock and roll for years, and I've worked around a lot of people that smoke a lot of reefer regularly and a lot of people that drink regularly. And just personally, I will take a worker that smokes reefer over somebody that drinks regularly all day long. They tend to be a lot more focused.
Yeah.
and a lot more productive, it seems. So, what is C? And the guy in this group was like, well, yeah, you know, especially the CBD stuff. I got a lot of friends that are using that for like PTSD and injuries, and I'm worried about it. And I was like, I don't think you can get it all high off of CBD. So,
well, CBD has its own, effect on the body. And one of the interesting things that it does, which, I think that hemp nowadays or CBD, but we'll just call it hemp, is more like cannabis used to be before they started, you know, selectively breeding it to create very high levels of THC.
Sure, sure.
And the benefits that I've seen actually come from the CBD part of the plant in conjunction. You do want some THC.
Sure, sure.
And all our products contain THC, but the CBD is what actually reduces cortisol levels, and that's the anxiety, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
When people feel relaxed, they tend to be more in the moment, whereas too much THC, unless you're very, very, very experienced, even so, too much THC tends to take you out of the moment. Yeah. I like to tell people it kind of makes the imagination a little bit bigger than it needs to be, you know, and because I think what we need to do is CBD, we're here for a somatic experience. And that is to be in our body. And if you're smoking weed, it's great. But a lot of times you're not really in the body. And if you're not in the body, then you can't actually feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that because there is that. kind of separation of, and I know a lot of people that use their marijuana specifically for that escape purpose, that like, I want to go somewhere for 5 minutes and just relax.
I'll be back in 30.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I might be here, but don't expect me to respond. Things like that. And I mean, granted, that's not everybody.
Totally.
You know, same thing as people that have a drink here and there.
Totally.
You know, but now you said that your products do contain THC. And I mean, of course, there is an allowable quantity of THC within hemp. In and of itself.
Right. It's always by volume. It has to contain less than 0.3%. Mm. And, you know, one of the interesting things I'd like to talk about is our products contain, or a lot of them contain raw THC. And if you've never had raw THC, I highly recommend that you try it in small amounts legally. And that is the THCA, which is the raw form of THC. When the plant grows, all the cannabinoids have an A after them, CBDA, THCA, CBGA. And the acidic compounds have a different effect. When you heat them, like if you smoke a joint or if you, depending on how you process it, you change the shape of them, right? Mm. Well, THCA has an affinity for serotonin receptors, which kind of gives you a little bit of energy and makes you happy, helps you focus. And so that's what a lot of our products do. And the THCA is really nice. It helps you, you can stay focused throughout the day and you're calm.
Nice.
And that may be why you like our products, because you usually get 19.
I do. And it's interesting that you say that, because I was just about to say you have numerous. I mean, the 4-to-1 is one of my favorites also. The number 17 is one that you just brought me, that I just tried a second ago, that even now, I can smell the terpenes in the back of my nose from my palate. That is how much this coated my palate.
Good for you.
Like, it's incredible. Terpenes are my jam.
Yeah.
They're great. And just so you folks know, they are part of the plant that fully relaxes you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start getting into that real quick. And what CBD does for the body, and is there already a system in our body for THC, or not THC, but CBD?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, we make them. So our body will make cannabinoids, and they don't, I don't have the exact types.
Explain that, because obviously I could have saved a lot of money in my life at some point.
We could just crank them up ourselves, right? It's not the same. The ratio of THC, it's a different component, but it does make something that's very similar to THC, AN or AN1 something. The endocannabinoid system in the human body, it's the largest system. It's virtually integrated with the nervous system. And CBD, or the hemp plant, makes about 120 components identical to what we make. These components actually help do many, many different things. They help regulate blood pressure, lower blood sugar levels. Those are the two popular things. The CBD is very good for seizures. And so also pain, inflammation, depression, anxiety, of course.
Yeah. And once again, it's interesting to know that A, our body produces cannabinoids, and B, our body actively has almost its own cannabinoid system, the same way it does like a lymphatic system or a nervous system.
Identical. It's huge. It's the largest system in the body. So the fact that we're not getting, we're not getting enough cannabinoids, it might be semi-nutritional. So I really look at, hemp as more of a nutrition type.
Sure.
Remedy for everyday living.
Yeah. I'm very much the same way. And that goes beyond usage of marijuana or usage of CBD. I mean, when you're talking about the plant itself and the uses of hemp, and even the dietary uses of hemp, and even the uses of hemp seed in cooking, stuff like that.
Oh, there's
been the rumor for years, of course, that marijuana seeds and things like that will make me an impotent, all kinds of stuff.
I thought it was the opposite.
Yeah. No, and that's just it. So many of those things are rooted in the article that my friend had posted in that Facebook post. I called out straight up. I was like, this is full of the worst propagandistic tripe that is literally like rooted in the racism that caused the banning of marijuana to begin with.
Totally.
Like,
yeah, Reefer Madness. That was a good campaign.
Probably to this day.
A decent amount of money behind it.
And you know what's funny is that money has lasted in perpetuity.
Yeah.
That was really one of those, like, if you get in on the ground floor of this, guys, I guarantee you this investment will last for a long time. As horrible as that is.
Yeah.
And there has been and for those of you who may question the absolute effort of industry and government to quash not only CBD and hemp, but marijuana and even the healing properties of marijuana. Like, good God, the Marijuana Tax Stamp Act in and of itself was just hilarious. It was quite literally the fact of, sure, you can get a federal tax stamp to grow marijuana. You just have to come in and physically show us that you're growing a certain quantity of marijuana and that you can do it.
We'll show up right before that.
Okay. So you're asking me to incriminate myself to get the license to grow marijuana.
What's even crazier is I was talking to a client today or yesterday, and South Dakota, CBD was illegal 2 years ago.
Mm.
And they were even, the governor was going after people driving through the state with hemp. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. Here in the last, maybe, what's it been? The last 2 years that the federal hemp law went through?
Yes.
It was really
the banking. They opened up banking, which enabled you to run transactions.
That's just it. Yeah.
It was legal before that, but it was.
I attend a lot of conferences, and I remember specifically there being one that the whole last part of it was all about the hemp industry. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even about the marijuana. Like, the marijuana industry came up, but it was the hemp industry specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, yes, they were getting ready to, and this was like, I want to say it was the National Utility Commissioners Convention.
Okay.
And they were talking about industrialized hemp, industrialized marijuana, its impact on the grid, things like that, grow houses, grow facilities, pumping water for huge fields of hemp.
Totally.
Things like that. So there's a lot to be considered. And it was one of those, like, wow, this was probably about 5 to 6 years ago. And I remember whenever it happened, I was like, this is huge. Like, and that was their big point, was the fact of, we need to get the banking regulations in order, because until the banking regulations are in order,
the big corporations can't move in.
Well, it's the fact of, you can't go out and get a loan to do something like what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't go out and get a loan to grow hemp for something like what you're doing, because a bank can't subsidize it.
Correct.
A bank can't subsidize a grow house for a legal medical marijuana facility in a state because it's federally illegal. And because it's federally illegal, funds can't be provided from a FICA-insured bank.
That's true.
So it was this whole legal web of things that are tied together.
Deposits, and it's, that would, the Senate, the Banking Act has passed, and I think they still drag their feet a little bit on it. And, because, you know, of course there's insurance issues and other issues, but. The Fed banking system is quite a tangled web right now.
Well, period. It's a tangled web.
Right.
There's never a time when it's not a tangled web. It's always a tangled web. And especially whenever it comes to IRS, whenever it comes to anything involved with interstate commerce. And I think that's a big part of where the banking came in, was the fact of you couldn't even, like, you could grow hemp in a hemp legal state, but even if you were bordering another hemp legal state, you couldn't take your seeds to that dude's farm or sell them to him. Everything had to be within your state. Yeah. And now things are a little bit looser. What has it been like for you as far as finding product, as far as finding actual bud? Because I know at one point our good friend over at Babalu Cigars, they had their Flower of the Earth cigar, which was a CBD rolled cigar.
Oh, yeah.
And they started having issues finding.
Well, we've been very fortunate. You know, I have long-standing relationships. I lived in Northern California 20-plus years ago, and I have some friends that have been in the business for forever and that are currently in it. So it's never been a problem to find enough of it. We do source from multiple farms, and lately it's been tough for a lot of people because the prices have – it's been difficult. There's a lot of supply. And the trick really is being able to, you know, find customers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially now with full on recession on everything else. But there has been in the last week an amazing, amazing study that came out on cannabidiol inhibits SARS-CoV-2 replication. And this is an amazing study. I went through and read it after I sent it to you the other day. I read it two or three times and it was really, really interesting. Our good friend, Dr. John Hall, I spent some time with him this weekend and we were talking about it. He was like, absolutely, with the anti-inflammatory properties CBD, everything else. Well,
and that's what the study was looking at, CBDA, CBGA. Those are the two major, major cannabinoids. And then behind that, you have THCA. And those are what the study mentioned. And they're all the acidic compounds. We've been doing those for almost since the beginning. And they inhibit the replication, or they inhibit the beginning of the cytokine storm. And I will tell you, like that terpene stuff, I think the terpenes are like a major component in it. And it's pretty exciting news.
Now, I'm not gonna say this is use case. I'm not gonna say that this is actual science. But here is my actual situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a regular user of product, at least every other day, if not every day. Came back from my week at CES in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Tens of thousands of people.
Absolutely.
My wife and my kid came down with COVID. I did not.
Interesting.
I still have not. Despite my son being positive for like a week and a half and him snuggling up and sneezing in my face while he sleeps and everything else.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not going to say that was CBD that did that, but I definitely use CBD on the daily and other derivative products, everything else. So interesting. And to know that the study that has come out, which has been peer reviewed, there's been more than one that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was one not too long ago that was talking about THC possibly having the same quality.
Well, the acidic,
however, well, yes, exactly. And I think that most people immediately think THC, smoking weed. What's the difference between smoking and deoxycarbolization?
Yeah, well, that's what you do when you smoke it. You deoxycarbolate.
Okay.
Or, you know, decarboxylate. Yeah.
Sure, sure.
I like that.
Now, how do you guys go about getting everything out of the plant.
Yeah. So my main focus is on CO2 extracted stuff. And so I tend to research equipment and find, or I'll call the manufacturer and, you know, they'll give me a list of farms that do it. And then I'll start calling the farms and talking to people about their manufacturing practices. And then also if they'll let me have some input, because it's really an art form, how these machines are run. It's not like a standard thing. You plug it in, you put all the cannabis in, and then out comes the product.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a crock pot.
No.
It's not like throwing some onions and carrots and some beef and water and walk back home after work and there's your meal.
Well, I mean, there is something, but it's not the same as what we're doing. And it just gets super subtle. And so I like cold extracted stuff. We do use some distillates, which are heated and they're alcohol extracted, but our preferred method, or my preferred method, is CO2 extracted. And I try to put that in a lot of the different products.
Now, is the CBD itself extracted in that way, or is it other herbs and Ayurvedics that you use that are extracted in that way?
Yeah, we do have, you know, because we have the tonics.
Like, I'm going to shake it up because you got to shake this one up, folks. But I'm going to show you right now, like, if you're into herbology, herbs, things like that, using herbs on the daily as medicine, that kind of stuff, folks. I'm just going to show you this product real quick because that is out of control. Like, you can see the suspended stuff inside of that.
That's water extracted, ashwagandha, turmeric, water extracted. So we don't ever use any petrochemicals or any denatured alcohol with our products. They're organic, or they're either certified organic or they are organic, and we just don't bother to have them certified due to like farmer issues or something.
You've got to go through a process. Like, my wife literally has an ex-boyfriend from high school who, like, that is his job, is doing that for people like Whole Foods. Like, he worked for Whole Foods for years. It's like the guy that was like, yeah, no, sorry.
We're not going to take it.
That's, we can't say, like, we'll take it, but we can't say that's organic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
We can't label that as organic in our store.
Right, exactly.
There is a whole process with that, much like certifying anything kosher. Yes. Now, are your products kosher? Because that's a very important point to bring up whenever you're talking about oil-based products, things like that.
Totally. Well, a few of our products are kosher.
Okay, which ones specifically?
So 17, most of our ones that are certified organic are also kosher.
Okay.
And then,
Wow.
Any of our raw products.
Okay.
Are certified organic.
And how many different formulations do you guys have? Because, I mean, I've got... Look, I don't think I have any more over here, but I've got at least four here.
Right. I'm always making new products, and they're not all CBD does the same thing, pain, inflammation, depression, anxiety. But I think that why not try slightly different variations in how the process is run so that you can see how it functions in your body?
Sure. And hey, everybody's different.
Yeah.
The one thing amongst all the conferences that I have attended, the one thing that has stuck with me through medical conferences, and this is as somebody who uses SRIs, folks, like I take medication for my anxiety, and quite literally, never once have I seen a doctor on stage speaking on behalf of any SRI or speaking on a panel or anything, say, we know how this works.
Yeah, that's a good question.
We know how this works. Chris, we know why this pill works for you. Because what's funny is they don't know why that exact pill and that dosage will work for me, and why it won't work for you with the exact same body weight, exact same chemistry, and totally same problems that they're trying to solve.
Totally.
And it's interesting how that use case is really not, like, the use case of some issues being solved is there, sure, for major medications. But the use case of knowing why it works, like,
they don't got a clue.
It's up in the air, dude. Like, they literally have no idea why Zoloft works. No idea. No clue. But we know why this works. We know why CBD works. Yeah. We know it works because we actively have, much like serotonin, we have receptors in our body specifically for this.
Totally. I mean, CBD does work, and it's a good way. I think it really does help regrow the nervous system. The patent, you know, says it's cardiac protectant.
Interesting.
An antioxidant and a neuroprotectant. But so that would have to do with, you know, your myelin.
That's your myelin sheath. That's totally. All kinds of things. That's in the realm of, like, the health benefits of selenium.
Right. Well, and if you could, maybe the current, maybe it has to do with being able to perceive reality or run enough electrical voltage. I think the body's an electrical vehicle.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and less of a chemical machine that if you get the proper charge, you'll run. It's like a battery, right?
Oh.
You'd probably run it optimally. We're just not running enough voltage, like what James was talking about, like the energy at that ranch.
Yeah. You've got to have the proper just ground voltage to begin with for the circuit to operate properly.
Exactly.
Before you add anything else in or put any additional load on the system.
Yeah. Well, and that's where, like, the inflammation, you reduce inflammation, you start to, that's like a primary function.
Let's get into that real quick, because that my mother was somebody that I introduced you to. Totally. Whenever she came into town, I was like, no, you're going to come over here and you're going to meet my CBD guy. Mm-hmm. And I still provide her with some of your product to this day.
Yeah, I'll leave her a bottle.
Absolutely. Please. Let's get into that inflammation, because as Dr. John Hall said, who's been our correspondent for COVID, SARS, the whole time since before it made its way across the ocean, that is the key to it working there, is that inflammation part.
Right.
So how does that work?
I just know there are the CB1 receptors control inflammation. And the cannabinoids fit directly into those receptors and activate them. And I think it's much more complicated than we'd really. It's not just.
Oh, we're totally over. No. We're totally oversimplifying.
Right.
This.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Because the body's more of a mobile than it is a stick figure. And coming into balance, that it balances a ton of other things.
Yeah. And what else does it balance?
Blood sugar levels, blood pressure. Sometimes it lowers cholesterol in people. And that's a good start.
Wow. That's an incredible amount in and of itself to get into. Now, how long have you been formulating these, Chris?
Well, because we've been doing Truem Science probably since 2000. Well, we might have did it before. We were 2016.
When it was skirting?
Maybe.
Yeah. Hey, that's okay. Like, there's numerous technologies out there that are skirting.
It probably
things.
Started with a buddy of mine in 2015 or maybe a little bit before that.
Now, are you the actual formulator of all
totally
these? Exactly. And how did you get into this? Because this is in deep. Like, don't get me wrong, I have made my own tinctures. You know, like, I'll take a bottle of Everclear and stuff it with lavender all day long and make my own stuff, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But this is on a different level, and this is totally different than, like, let me buy an oil infusion machine off of Amazon or Facebook.
Yeah.
And make my own product.
Well, I had just had access to some pretty good products, and I'm pretty sensitive, so I'll stop doing them for a little while, and then I'll start to figure out, like, what am I looking for? And that's where, like you said, the G41 or the 4-to-1 CBG, CBG. And, you know, I can tell you scientifically, it takes pressure off the ocular nerve. It may be better for seizures. Yeah. It attaches to CB1 receptors in the brain. But what it also does is somehow is really good for spreadsheets, creativity, and focus. And ours has just a little bit of the THCA, the raw THC in it. And that is really good to work. You don't really want to take it after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Might keep you up a little bit. You might find a little something to do at night.
Yeah.
But it's really nice.
Now, there was one that I had at one point. I mean, number 19 was kind of my go-to for a long time, which is your just standard one. There it is. Number 19 there. But number 23 is one that you have every now and then that, like,
West Virginia organic
is out of this world. Like, anytime I've ever gotten it from you, like, you have it in like tiny little sample bottles.
Well,
whenever it comes out,
it's almost gone.
And it has like a reddish color.
Oh, like, no, that's,
or is that 21?
No, that's, so I probably need a different naming. So I had these, this stuff that we got from Europe years ago, and that's the super dark stuff. And it was I think I had it in 8 and 12 milligrams per drop.
Oh,
and
wow.
So my latest attempt to duplicate it, because that was actually made, you know, with a specific type of hemp, very low CBD hemp. So you would get a lot more of the product.
Interesting.
And my attempt to duplicate it is the 17.
It's
very thick. It's very terpeny.
Because that one was one that, like, I described it to people. I was like, number 19's great.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, number 19 is my go-to. It's what lives in my bag.
Yeah.
Like, when it's good, there is a,
helps focus.
There is a bottle of this that literally just lives in my overnight kit.
Yeah.
This is my desk bottle, but there's one that lives there so that I do not forget to bring it on the road with me. But the 23.
No, that was,
or not the 23,
15 or
but the
super low numbers.
Whenever you would have that and give me a bottle, man, I would let friends try it on the road and they were like, oh, wow. I was like, yeah, like, you, it was literally like a warm hug within 2 minutes.
That's
like,
awesome.
It was such an entire body release. What is it that causes, because as my audience knows, as you know, I'm known to procure a little bit of reefer. I'm known to use a little bit of reefer here and there. But the feeling of CBD and proper good CBD is so entirely distinct for me.
Yeah. Oh,
it's true. And I had somebody recently, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. She actually she was like, take a picture of yourself and send it to me. And she used her software and did a whole like aura reading on my body. We have never talked. This was her first episode on my previous show. We had never talked or anything like that. Not even joking. First words out of her mouth to me about that aura reading were, your body craves CBD.
Oh, wow.
Your body craves CBD and lavender. And right here is my bottle of lavender that I carry with me. So, it was CBD, it was like, wow, how could you have known those two utterly random facts about me from a picture that I took of myself and what you read of my aura?
Electrical.
Really, really wild, though. But it was one of those that, like, when I found CBD and proper good CBD, it was one of those that, like, I became a true believer. Yeah. And I've been a true believer in the properties of marijuana and the medical benefits of marijuana for years and years and years.
You have cancer, THC, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I was like, hemp, CBD, until I found your stuff, man.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm here to tell you, it's a game changer.
Yeah, thank you. It should kick a little bit.
It does. It kicks more than a little bit. Some of your formulations kick like a mule, my friend.
Good stuff. Thanks.
And now you have numerous products here.
We're just getting the gummy run done. Our gummies typically have about a milligram and a half of THC in them, which would be Delta 9 because that would be heated. And then we're in the process of formulating one or two more oils, which will be probably a raw oil and a decarboxylated oil. Okay. We're going to do a CO2 run this time.
Cool.
And that'll probably be from Minnesota. And then I also have – we're considering like a run of pills. People are looking for ways to take CBD on the fly.
Yeah.
And we'll make like little matchbox books of
– this is one of my favorite ways right here.
Yeah.
That is the little toothpicks, man. Yeah. Just throw a toothpick in your mouth. And I mean, granted, it's not the same dosage as like, you know, throw a gummy in your mouth.
Yep.
However, as far as just like some ongoing relaxation for a little while, for an hour or so.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, what is the industry looking like going forward? Because I know our good friend Russell Dowden from Texas Hemp Reporter has been on the show before. We keep track of him regularly, and there are all kinds of news, everything coming out about the hemp industry regularly. What are things looking like for
CBD,
CBG, totally. Things like that?
Yeah, well, I can tell you economically, they're still weeding out a lot of farmers. I should listen to what he has to say, because that's probably even a little bit – he's probably got a little bit better. I have my head down most of the time.
He interviews a lot of manufacturers, right? Yeah. Things like that, quite a few lawmakers, yeah. That kind of stuff. So it'd definitely be a great informative podcast for you to check out. And I mean, like I said before the show, I definitely need to like hook you two guys up and make that handshake happen. But – It's interesting to see some of the regulations being dropped in states.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? Well, I think that I think a lot of people are looking to for the marijuana to become legal or THC to become legal in Texas. I think that they went back and forth with Delta 8, which is a form of THC. It's not my bag.
I love my state, dude. I cannot say, pardon my language. I cannot say that we have done jack shit.
Well, there's
we are as bass-ackwards as it gets. Like Mexico is legal.
Yeah.
Even the tip of Arkansas that touches us is legal. Are you ready to say that Arkansas is more progressive than Texas?
Pretty scary, isn't it?
I think Louisiana,
it's the bureaucracy in Texas.
It's silly because we are such a business friendly state. And when Montana just reported $1.9 billion in their first year. That's a B, Jack. $1.9 billion in Montana.
That's a lot.
You realize how few people live in Montana? Apparently, everybody in Montana wanted reefer, and nobody knew it.
Maybe they're exporting a lot, right?
But it's just silly to me. And when you're talking about the, quote, compassionate use act that just passed, you're talking about, like, what, 1.9% THC?
It's limited in Texas.
It's horrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no medical benefit almost to 1.9% THC. When you're talking about health benefit like CBD, yes. When you're talking about pain relief benefit, nausea relief benefit, the things like that that a cancer sufferer is looking for,
you'd be looking for more THC.
No, not at all. You're looking for like a 20% THC content.
I think they have it. You need the doctor prescription, and it's not easy to get.
It's not that yet though. I think it's like 5-6%. It's still in the low range. Even if you've got that doctor's script and everything else.
Well, there's only three. I think people that they gave the license to.
Yeah, so there's only three official growers. I've been trying to cut. There's one that's right down the road.
There's one in San Marcos. Yeah. There's one out in just west of Austin.
Yeah, I've been trying to get him on the show to talk about it, because it's one of those that, like, I have a brother that just got over lymphoma, and God bless him. You know, the first thing I said was, you know,
you may want to try.
Hey, you get to that point of nausea with your treatments or whatever, don't you know where to come?
Right.
Like, a brother can help you out.
Totally.
And he was like, yeah, man, if I get to that point, maybe I'll get at you. You know, like, God bless the guy. Like, even at that point in his life, he was like, no, thanks, but no thanks.
The programming is pretty heavy.
Well, you know, my brother's a pretty woke dude, honestly. It's just one of those that I can understand, because there have even been points in my life I learned to realize many years later that that's when I need to eat. But there have been numerous points where, yeah, like, that hallucinogenic quality of THC has taken over, and it's that paranoia has happened. And I know numerous people that, like, I smoked with in college and in our 20s that, like, once they hit 30, they were like, yeah, man, I'll have a beer or some scotch or something, maybe smoke a cigar, but I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
It was like their body chemistry changed and their reaction to it changed. And especially by that point, not necessarily the medicinal benefit, but the medicinal quality of things out on the market radically changed. Well, when you're talking about what we got in college, which was like, hey, here's some 14%. Great compressed weed.
Right.
And here's some amazingly hydroponic grown specifically for this effect.
Yeah.
There's a vast difference. Vast difference.
Totally, totally. Well, they also, I mean, I also think that the strains have changed. Not only have they selectively bred it a much higher concentration, I think some of them are missing certain phenotypes or certain components that nobody really knows what they do. I think it's more of I'm more of a holistic type.
Mm.
I take a more of a holistic type view, in the sense that you, like, the nature's got the remedy. You just gotta, you might have to play with it a little bit, but you may, you know, sometimes a little bit of a toxin next to something else is a good thing.
Sure.
Like, the terpenes are slightly toxic.
Oh, sure.
But they're like the paint thinner for your brain. They clean up your brain. They may taste a little bit sharp, so but if you can put up with them for a little while, they help balance hormones, mitigate short-term memory loss. There's tons of things, tons of benefits.
Yeah, and just so you know, folks, the terpenes are what give things their specific aromatic qualities. Stuff like pinol, where things smell like a pine tree. Or like pinopine.
Totally. Mycine.
Yeah.
Beta-carophyllene.
Yep.
Those are like some of the major, major terpenes. And hemp will make more terpenes than almost any other plant.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
Yeah. Right? It's really interesting how hemp has more terpenes than most actual marijuana. In that way.
Well, I think they all create a huge amount of terpenes.
Mm.
But they make a larger variety of terpenes than any other plant, which is somewhere between 30 and 60. And I'll tell you what, they don't even know what some of them are. By weight, they haven't identified them all.
Wow.
And that's the stuff that we're trying to make sure stays in our products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, your spigeric process, that was probably what sold me more than anything, Chris.
Pretty heavy, isn't it?
Like I said, I'm a big herbalist. I love using herbs. I love using natural remedies. And I consider myself at least a student of alchemy. I wouldn't necessarily say studied in the science of, but a student of. I've definitely read a lot of alchemical texts. And just the fact that you are using a form of modern alchemy in the process of this, explain to everybody, because, of course, in your ad that we play during our commercials, it talks about your proprietary spigeric process. What is a spigeric process? What is that all about?
So spigerics are They would actually be considered the holus plant extract. And actually, I convinced somebody that I had been a fan of for years. It took me 5 years or 4 years to convince him to make the spagyric. And it was done over a period of 9 months. And you extract the oil and you extract the terpenes, which are the body. You extract the body and the soul of the plant, or you extract the soul and the spirit of the plant, and then you take the body, which is the actual plant matter, and you actually burn it at a very, very high temperature. Then you do a filtering process, put it back together, and let it sit. Maybe cycles on the moon or whatever you're tracking. And then you do it all over again. And the more times you do it, the more concentrated it gets. But it also ends up changing certain of the minerals so that they become the idea is to make them more bioavailable.
Wow.
And that would be the potassium, calcium, things like that. Less calcium, but more potassium.
It's pretty incredible.
It's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
Well, it's got a lot of THC in it.
Like I said, that's something that I want to get into real quick before we let you go, because I don't want people to misunderstand. I have friends and listeners that are truck drivers, things like that. They can't be popping positive on any test.
Yeah, all I mean, our even products even our THC. I highly recommend that you talk to your employer or have a conversation with them.
Is it something that would actively make you test positive?
We've tested 11 people, and it depends on the test and the dosage that you take. Like the spagyric has a lot. I mean, I personally don't think you need very much more THC. But all of them have less than 0.3%. Like the spagyric is almost our highest. It's at 0.25.
Okay.
So, but for me, I can tell the difference in a quarter, not a quarter, but like a third of a, you know, definitely 0.05%. You can feel the difference.
Wow.
And that's why the stuff that's raw, which can, the 23, the 19, the 17, all which have some of the THCA in it, you'll notice. You will actually notice just a fraction of it.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
Oh, I mean, the one that I had before, like I said, the tiny sample bottle, that one, beyond anything that's sitting here on this table, and absolutely amazing differences, even between the formulations that are right here. Like you said, like, if you're going to use the 4-to-1, don't be taking that before you go to bed. Like, you know. You can't even take that like a good 4 hours before you go to bed. No. That's like a when you wake up in the morning type situation.
Or you could do it at maybe 11 or 12, but if you're staying up, if you got a long, long day, you could do it at 3 o'clock.
Before we let you go, let's get into these formulations and what they're good for, what people should be looking for in their CBD formulation.
Yep. So if you're looking for, if you're looking to benefit from mostly inflammation, you're going to be looking for raw cannabinoids, CBDA. It's the best for inflammation. Any of the raw, when stuff has a raw THCA in it, THCA kind of makes you happy, helps you focus. And when some of our, so that would be 19, 23, 17. And the ones that are heated or are higher numbers tend to be heated. Our even numbers are the tonics. But 81, it's a distillate. It's very calming. It's 3.7 milligrams per drop, and 8 to 10 drops of it, and you're usually napping in an hour or very relaxed.
Yeah.
Some people it doesn't work that way, but the majority of people it does, and that's our products right now. That's all the ones we have. Our tonics are very fast acting. They're super bioavailable. There's no chemicals in the process, and you'll feel them usually in about 4 minutes.
Yeah, and I mean the I guess which one is this? That's
the strong one.
Yeah, I mean this. This right here, I would normally take about half a eyedropper of it, and just mix it in a bottle of water.
Oh yeah,
That's good. How I took it, because it can tend to be a little potent on the palate.
Yeah,
let's just say. But whenever you put it in water, it gives it a very gentle flavor.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and yeah, it's nice like that. These are some, they're you only one you would do that with is the tonics. The
yeah.
oils won't mix with water.
Oil and water,
exactly.
However. The tonics are H2O based.
Totally.
So, yeah, you can dilute them in water all day.
Totally.
So,
yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that product.
Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah. Now, the new gummies.
Gummies are coming. I just had a bunch made, and they are, like I said, about 1.5 milligrams THC, 25 milligrams CBD.
Nice.
They're calming, relaxing.
No,
I think they're all going to be this batch is all going to be one flavored. We're going to make them all black cherry.
Oh,
they'll nice. Be delicious. They are organic. They're certified organic.
Now, a lot of people may be wondering, because of course, THC, can I pop positive on a test? Things like that. What about kids?
Yeah, I can't give advice in that yeah. area. There's many people that give it to their kids. I'd say you have to talk to someone else.
Talk to your pediatrician, yeah. See if that's the case. I mean, if it's the fact that your kid would be available for any programs in Texas or surrounding states, stuff like that, I would say definitely explore CBD.
It does. You know, there are studies for ADD and ADHD that with THCA, and they're very small doses. And they do say that it, you know, does help focus. And I think that there are some studies with autistic children and things like that. And there's a fairly decent response rate. And you probably can ask your doctor or
yes.
someone who.
That is always the best advice is seek the advice of your physician. Totally. See, I mean, even myself, before I sought you out,
yeah.
it was, hey, doc. Not that I haven't used some reefer in my life and everything, but do you think that this might be something that could help?
Totally.
And she was like, you know, I have heard some amazing results from doctors that I know and personal people that I know. And that's when she hit that on my recommend list. So definitely talk to your physician about it, folks. Have an open conversation about it. It's a different day and age.
Totally. They're starting to get to know. You know, we're on the board of the Medical Wellness Association.
Oh, wow.
It's a group of physicians. They do consulting for them. And so they help certify products. So they look at our product process. And it's good group.
Fantastic. Well, yeah. Where can people go to
True Hemp?
Find out about the studies, find out about your actual specs, everything else, because all that is available on your
totally,
website.
It is.
Where can they go to order? Where can they go
right.
to shamelessly order their stuff with the code
CURIOUS7
and save 7%?
True.
And still get two edibles, right?
I'll find something free around the office.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it in with that. And then for what is today?
Today is the 25th.
Right. So until the end of the month, I'll add another 5% to that coupon.
Ooh.
It'll be active by the end of this evening.
Wow. 12%.
So you just pull up. Type in CURIOUS7 and you'll get 12%. So
that's more than tax in most states, folks.
Totally.
That is a huge savings whenever you're talking about that. And your products are so entirely affordable when it comes to this range of stuff.
On the low end.
It's really been amazing to know that my mother, who is on a fixed income, is able to still order things from you, stuff like that. It's really great. Chris, once again, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for inviting me back.
It's fun.
You got a great, I love the Curious Realm.
You're
dialed in on that.
Thank you, man. Like I told you before we rebranded, we need to start having you in regularly to talk about this stuff because,
It'll change you.
Well, not only will it change you, but CBD is so entirely in the news and there's so many questions about it. And so many people are so afraid because there is just that looming specter of reefer.
Yeah.
It's related to reefer. It comes from the same family of plants.
It's going to be hard. It's really hard to get that high on it.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't say take a whole bottle.
No, I wouldn't take
a whole bottle. But even that wouldn't get you high. Not like,
you'd be hard pressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You would feel something.
Yeah. Definitely talk if you're out there, if you're driving, whatever. Definitely talk to your physician, talk to your employer, all that kind of stuff. If you were somebody who is taking this and is on probation, good Lord, talk to your lawyer, talk to your probation officer. Let them know that you are using such products. Well,
they passed a law, I think, in Travis County that they allow first responders to test positive for CBD because in the test, it's totally different. If you smoke a joint versus if you took a reasonable amount of CBD every day, which would probably be less than 30 milligrams or 30 to 50 milligrams, then you can test positive.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. They know it's CBD. They would see THC in your system, but it would be such a small amount and of a specific type. They can now gauge it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just have to make sure that's the test.
Chris, thanks you so again, much. As always.
Thank you, Chris.
While you're online checking out everything from True Hemp Science, folks, make sure to stop on by The Curious Realm. That is where you can find all the episodes. That is where you can download the app. That's where you can check us out live. Soon we'll be coming to you live from events all over the country, all kinds of things. Stop on by, check out the Curious Realm store, curiousrealm.com/store. That's where you can get our tie-dye, I'm running the show and cues right now from the Curious Realm mouse pad. Stop on by, check it out. Until next time, folks, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault on our website, CuriousRealm.com. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast services, as well as YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV through the APR TV app, available on all app markets. Curious Realm is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content or to become a sponsor of Curious Realm or other podcasts, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.